I thought I told you to stay in the truck.
Yeah, I guess good. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, like I said, everything about me kind of broke down right now, so that's what I'm saying. Plus, I don't like standing like that in front of people. It makes me feel like I'm preaching. And, well, me and preaching is like putting an elevator inside of an outhouse. They don't go together. So anyway, I guess I got to say this. My home group is the It Can Be Done group in Harrisonburg. I can't give a shit. Well, anyway. I'll give you a little bit of backstory about me. Not a lot of it, because hell, all of us know how to fucking use it. We wouldn't be here. But I grew up about 5 miles from here. This is my old stomping ground. And it's a place called Briary Branch. I'm a brancher is what they call them. I doubt if there's any out here. But anyway, old redneck town. I grew up in with my mom, my stepdad, and a bunch of fucking siblings. And I remember my stepdad used to like to use me for a fucking punching bag. Put me through walls, shit like that. Now my mom, she had a son or an older brother. He died when he was a year old. Now because of that, I came the next year. I don't think she could ever get close to me because she don't think she got over grieving for him. Because she would always say my real dad was a piece of shit and I was like him. And she would also tell me that my brother should have survived instead of me. And we was supposedly a Christian fucking home. My mom was closet drunk, and I asked my stepdad, he's just a motherfucker, okay? Anyway, and I don't tell this stuff so that anybody wants to feel sorry for me, because a lot of people have had a rough fucking upbringing. I'm just trying to tell you where my addiction started. When I was 13, it was a good year, bad year, depending on how you fucking look at it. I tried my first alcohol at a family reunion, and I liked it a lot. And I remember going home at night, and I was a mouthy son of a bitch. It's like instant fucking redneck, just add alcohol. All right? Well, the biggest thing I remember is when my stepdad decided he wanted to beat on me. It's the first time I ever fucking fought back. And I called him every goddamn name in the book. Next day, I remember my mom, she said, we're waiting for you to apologize to him. Well, they're dead now and still fucking waiting. Anyway, I forget what I was going to say. I didn't know. So because of the church thing, because of them, the church thought I just deserved what I got. I guess they were trying to beat me to Jesus or whatever the fuck it was. But it didn't work. My rebellious nature went from here to way the fuck up here pretty goddamn quick. Because all my cousins drank, and that's all we fucking did. We went pretty quick. Just one little story, I guess. I got a .22 rifle for Christmas that year from my uncle. Well, I was pissed off at them anyway, didn't like the motherfuckers, so I got up and shot all the goddamn bolts off the fucking Christmas tree. My stepdad never touched me again. Matter of fact, I don't even remember if he talked to me too fucking much. So, at an early age, I decided that I didn't want to count on no fucking body, especially people that supposed to love me. Fuck that. And I spent the next 31 years making damn sure nobody fucking got close to me to do it. Anytime I had to have something done, and I had to pay somebody to do it, They were going to show me how. Because I don't want to fucking have to ask somebody again. Now, later on in life, that's kind of paid off because I made a pretty good living with my hands and my back. So something did come out good out of it a little bit. But anyway, of course, like most addicts, my using got worse. And I got wild and unpredictable and got into trouble like a good addict does. And this when they told me, hey, I was 21. If you join the Army, we'll dismiss all the charges. Hell yeah, sign me up. A mousy fucking redneck going to boot camp. That's going to work real fucking good. And it did for the most part. And I did those 4 years. And I'm still proud of that. Any veterans out here? Thank you for your fucking service. Thank you for your fucking service. America! Oh, sorry. Two of the things that happened, the biggest, I think, in my military service was I got married, got divorced, and we had a son. Also, the other thing was I met somebody that I was stationed in Texas, Fort Hood, and I met a guy that lives in Texas, and just every addict's fucking dream, his cousin just happened to cook us up certain substance. Great. And I remember going in their bathroom that night and doing a shot of dope. Now, I know we don't talk about what kind it was, and that's fine. But the shot of dope is my fucking story. Because I did it for the next 20-some years. And so basically in 2006, December 10th, 2006, y'all showed me a new way to live. Yeah, hold on. This ain't no fucking fairy tale. All right. My first meeting in my first rehab was in 1990. Okay, that's 16 fucking years. Also in 1990, I don't know if you've heard this one before, there was this woman. All right? This ends up being a good story. She ended up being my wife. But she showed me something that I didn't want and I never thought possible, and that was this unconditional love. You see, I always thought I wasn't scared of a fucking thing. In my whole goddamn life, I was afraid of that four-letter fucking word, love. It's everything I don't think. Yeah, what?
You
want to
ask her?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yep. Where the fuck was it? Fucking went to left. Oh. Anyway, I went to my first rehab because her name was Kathy. She said I needed to go to rehab. And the only thing I learned at that goddamn rehab is that you're not supposed to be in a relationship for a year, so I broke up with her. But her coming in my life was a God thing. Because for the next 18 years, I put that woman through hell, but she stood by me. She seen me, not just the addict. And once I had a year clean, 2006, 2007, I had a year clean, 2008, we were married. And we were married for almost 13 years. No. I'll talk about that last. But during those 16 years of coming in and out, not the only suggestion I ever took was I kept coming back. And I was blessed enough to keep making it back. And because of that, I don't have the right to give up on no fucking body. Thank God. You see, I still had a desire. I wouldn't have fucking kept coming back. And during those 16 years, I still learned something in this program. Between Kathy and the people in this program, y'all started breaking down these fucking walls. Oh, I got to back up a second. 1988 was when I got out of the military. 3 months later, I got custody of my son. 9 months old, I'm wide fucking open. Oh, yeah. And when I really think about it, that might have saved my life, because I had two purposes in life. Make damn sure he had everything he could that a two-income family could give him. And shooting dope. That was my two fucking things in my life. And the one thing he'd never give him was love. I did not fucking know how. I didn't know I could hug him and it was okay. It wasn't because I cared about somebody. It wasn't a weakness or vulnerability. So what if I'm vulnerable? He's my fucking son. I know I love him, but ain't a fucking thing in here. Nothing. Y'all started breaking down them walls. A little bit at a time, you showed me how to love my son. You showed me how to, that if I'm wrong, I can promptly admit it. If I get jump on his ass for nothing other than I just don't like my fucking self, I can go back and tell him I'm sorry. I learned that here. I hate that fucking word. Kathy, the first time she ever tried to tell me she loved me, she said it, no problem. I couldn't do it. I went, I love. I said, we're going to have to fucking work on that one, because it ain't happening right now. Now, my son, well, he just went to captain school in the United States Army. And he tells me he loves me before he hangs up the phone, and I ain't got to say it. I've learned that here. He gives me hugs. That's hard for somebody in the military to give another man a hug, no matter who it is. But he does that. See, while y'all teaching me, I'm learning to teach him these things. Because, and if it wasn't for the program, well, I never would have met Kathy. I wouldn't have had the people in my life today. And my son probably sure as hell wouldn't be in my life. And my daughter, she wouldn't be in my life either. Y'all taught me slowly how to start loving myself. See, I didn't think I'd live to be 30 and give a fuck if I did. I don't know where it's going to go with that either. God damn, my brain sucks. We're on the one. Yeah. See, I just got it back and lost it again. Ain't that something? I don't know if it's old age or burnout. A little bit of both, probably. But anyway, See, y'all taught me how to love myself. And in turn, I've learned to love other people. You also showed me how to let people love me. And I didn't want that. I didn't want it at all. Because it hurt too much. What time is it? Okay. Now, like my sponsor said, when he asked me to speak, he's always told me, you can't turn that down. I love my sponsor, but he was an asshole. But I definitely need this. I'm fixing to start something. I've got to get out, and it's going to hurt. Oh, shut the hell up. Yeah. A lot of people here knew my wife from coming out to camp out. I said the reason I think she's a God thing because we moved away from each other twice. She even moved to Minnesota and came back, and we still ended up married. And in October. Let me back up. 2020 sucked for everybody. 2021 so far make 2020 look like a fucking cakewalk. Fuck me, I'm a candy ass. But I'll take it as soon as that motherfucker walked through the door. She got sick in October. February 16th, she was gone. The one person I've had in my life the most was gone. And I started getting all these stupid questions in my head. Will you ever love again? All that kind of bullshit. Fuck, I don't know. I know I do. That was in February. The first of May, I get a phone call early in the morning, and one of my younger brothers hung himself. Like, motherfucker. I ain't done grieving the first one yet. Still ain't. That's gonna take a while. They do it in bits and pieces. But that was the 1st of May. Okay. The middle of May, I had to go to the hospital to get a biopsy on a nodule in my fucking lung. And they fucked that up and collapsed my lungs. Like, really? But they fixed it. They blew it up. One of them fucking inflatable bed pumps or something. I don't know. The day I was supposed to get out, 6 o'clock in the morning, my daughter calls me. It's like, okay. She's supposed to be on her way to pick me up. But, you know, this thing might not be big to some people, but my wife and I rescue animals. And the first one we ever got, 15 years old, she had a heart attack and died. First words out of my mouth are, and I think the nurses thought I was nuts, was, fuck you, God. If you haven't said that enough yet to your higher power, keep coming back. Yeah, we kind of reconciled it a little bit. But during that time, I needed something greater than me, so I just called it my higher power. It made me feel better. But I also lean on the people in this program. So, I go home. Everything's starting to go pretty good, I guess. A lot of people don't know this one yet. Go ahead and get it out of the bag here, Rick. middle of June, I was diagnosed with stage 1 lung cancer. Reminds me of this cigarette. Which, you know, they'll take care of that. They're supposed to take care of it here in a couple of weeks, I guess. But I don't say this, I don't know about feeling sorry for all that shit. Because see, except for the stage 1 cancer, this shit didn't happen to me. It just fucking happened. And I've learned in this program that it's up to me how long I want to sit on this fucking pity pot and feel sorry for myself. And I ain't gonna fucking do that. Because I'm still alive. And I'm still gonna enjoy every damn minute of it, no matter how much longer I got. Fucking doctors. I'm working on this part, but like I said, it's working. Anyway, during all this time, I didn't really have a God I trusted or believed in. The one thing in my whole life that I was afraid of was love. And during all this time, that's the one fucking thing I need. So, There's only two places I've ever found this kind of unconditional love, and that was from Kathy and the people in this program. If you don't think this fucking program works, you're right. It doesn't work unless you do the fucking work. You see, those 16 years, I never worked one fucking goddamn step. And I kept using it. Until I started working these steps, nothing fucking changed. Nothing. And I don't just work these steps. I've been taught I need to apply them in my life. If I don't, it ain't no fucking sense doing them. I can answer questions all fucking day long. I gotta make some, a higher power has to make some changes in here. And I didn't want to do that. Because it involves love, and fuck a bunch of love, it hurts. I still hate pain of the heart. I can't stand it. Fuck me. But I've also seen, if I'm not willing to deal and accept and walk through the pain of the heart, yeah, I'm gonna miss out on a lot of fucking loving relationships. I wouldn't have loved that woman. I wouldn't love people in here. Y'all taught me how to, you taught me that sex and intimacy is two different things. Who fucking knew? You taught me how to treat women. A lot of the women in this program. You taught me how to treat my wife. Because when I was using, I used to say it was like a pack of gum and it was a flavor I get new feet. Basically, that's what it was. Y'all taught me how to love in here. Fuck me. So, I mean, everybody here knows how to use it. If you've been here for a while, you know what to do. If anybody's not sure about this fucking program, it works. I gotta work some steps. I gotta make some changes. And I gotta make this program my life. It's not recovery in my life. How do I mix the two? It's the same fucking thing. And when it says in there that if you're willing to make the effort, then you really take certain steps. So work your own fucking steps. I'm not going to tell you how each one did work for me. I know the fucking freedom it gave me. I know I wouldn't be in front of all these fucking people with fucking tears in my eyes. It's that macho bullshit I grew up with, all it did was keep me fucking high. You taught me that I could tell another man I love him? Are you fucking kidding me? When I was growing up, hell no. You don't do that. You don't tell anybody about your problems. You suck it up and you fucking deal with it. The only way I dealt with it was getting fucked up. And I had to learn to play that damn tape through. Mine's pretty simple. 12 packs, 8 ball handcuffs. It don't get much different than that. But I've also found that I've been locked up clean. See, it ain't just about the drugs. I can still do all the things I used to do. And probably a little bit smart about them because I'm not fucked up doing it. Somebody asked, I was talking about earlier about me speaking tonight, and I said, well, goddamn, I've been bullshitting people all my fucking life. I can sit up here and do it for 25 minutes. But the tears that I don't want tell me it's coming from the heart. It's not just bullshit. Time is it?
8:48.
Oh, fuck me. What are you talking about? Oh, okay.
Feeling great?
Huh?
Feeling great?
Oh, thank you. Oh, what the fuck? Look. Okay. I know what I'll get. Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. I'm glad these fucking in-person meetings started back up. Because I fucking need them. Now, I'm not putting down the Zoom meetings. They didn't work for me. Because, see, one thing I won't find in the Zoom meeting is a newcomer picking up a white fucking tag with just ultimate joy because, guess what? They're a fucking miracle. Or somebody with 30 days happy as shit because they actually did something for themselves that's healthy for 30 fucking days in a row. Yeah. Yeah. Or, I know this COVID caused a lot of people to relapse. The other thing you end up learning or missing is an old timer with double digit years coming back in here, picking up a white key tag, and relieved because they're fucking home again.
Amen.
I need that. I need to see the miracle in other people. When I don't believe in the God I have right now, I have to believe in something, and I believe in this fucking program. Because this old fucking redneck's still clean. And trust me, that redneck ain't going no fucking where. Anybody knows me knows that. But I can be a little bit more loving today. And also be an asshole sometimes. Take what you get. But, you know, y'all taught me how to be selfless, giving back, not to just people in the fucking rooms. And I've learned that when I give back, like I was told, whether it be carrying a meeting, giving somebody a hug, praying for them, for God's sake, sick and suffering addict, that's every fucking one of us. My problems don't seem so fucking bad. You know? And now what? Okay. I'm still dealing with this stuff from time to time. Well, like I said, I'm not gonna sit in it. I can't. And you know, I know sometimes the meetings, I know I'm just going from my experience sometimes. Sometimes they just get like, what the fuck? It's the same goddamn thing. Same bullshit. Life on life's terms. Gratitude. Like, what the fuck? But I've also learned that every meeting ain't for me. And my sponsor has taught me that if I don't like what's going on in a meeting, quit worrying about what the fuck I'm getting or not getting and try to see what I can do to add to the fucking meeting. I mean, I had to be taught these things. So it's my time to teach other people. Not that I'm just fucking miracle worker or nothing, but I was told to get back. Because somebody's opened the goddamn door and believing in me for 16 fucking years when I came in. No judgment. And if you did judge me, fuck you. That happens. I can learn anything from any addict in these rooms, good or bad. When I was in and out, I'll tell you this one. Guy with double-digit years, I seen him in the food line. He wouldn't talk to me, but I was back in the rooms at the time. I seen him in the meeting that night. He said, if I knew you was back in the meetings, I would have said something. Said, I would have talked to you. Well, fuck you, don't talk to me now. See, I learned something from that man. I don't want to be that asshole. Okay? That's just one story. But anyway, I'm not going to tell a bunch of war stories. You're telling me that now. Goddamn, I have to take a... Sorry about this. Well, no, I'm not. Fuck. What? Huh? Time is George.
Fuck that clock.
Yeah.
I'm here all weekend, man.
You know, I've never felt bad doing something good for somebody else. You know, I can't remember the exact words. It's this thing on my wall that says that when you're kind to people, they'll take advantage of you. Do it anyway. When you love people, they'll resent you. Do it anyway. And it's a bunch of other shit I can't remember. But the last part of it says all this stuff this talks about is do it anyway, no matter how they treat you. Because in the end, it ain't between you and them, it's between you and God. So, for this addict, I don't help anybody with expectations. And what I mean is, if I give somebody's homeless or something, because I deal with homeless a lot, if I give them some money and they're people, well, they might use it on drugs or alcohol. That's none of my goddamn business. What my business is, if I want to try to help that man. Because no matter what, it's planting a fucking seed. It's carrying a message. They might not know what it is, but anyway, I'm about done, almost. But, like my sponsor said, I hope I didn't offend nobody. My language is pretty rough sometimes, but my story needs to be narrated by Samuel Jackson, not Morgan Freeman. All right? Yeah, I know. So if I offend anybody, well, Snowflake, call your goddamn sponsor. But,
nice.
Huh?
Nice.
Yeah. So, with that, I'm going to shut up. But since I've been here today, some people have kept asking, people that know me have kept asking me if I got anything for them this year. If they don't know what I'm talking about, I always wear these crazy, stupid outfits. My heart's not really in it for this year that much because my wife's gone. Maybe next year. But anyway.
She helped with the outfit.
What?
She helped with the outfit.
Yeah, she helped with the outfit. Thanks for letting me share.